Can we ever have too much head knowledge about the Christian faith, so much so that it interferes with our heart knowledge? That's just one of the questions we'll be answering on today's edition of Core Christianity. I'm Bill Meyer, along with Pastor Adriel Sanchez, and this is the radio program where we answer your questions about the Christian life every day. And you can call us with your question at 833-THE-CORE. That's 1-833-843-2673. You can also email us at questions@corechristianity.com. Just the word questions@corechristianity.com. Well, Adriel, as a pastor in California, your church has basically been under a lockdown for the past month or so, and yet you've been actively serving those in your community who are particularly hard hit by some of the economic consequences of the coronavirus. Can you tell us what your congregation has been up to?
You know, some of our deacons had the great idea of putting together care packages of food, you know, kind of some of the staple items, and giving them to those who are in need. And so we've been able to put together several boxes of just, you know, some food. We got the pasta, and I think there's even some toilet paper in there, which I'm sure people really appreciate. You know, it's kind of funny when that becomes the gift that everybody wants. But that's what we've been doing as a church. And then obviously just continuing to seek to be faithful in teaching the word of God. You know, even though we can't gather together, it's neat to be able to preach and teach via internet, live stream, that kind of a thing. And so, yeah, we're seeking to be a blessing to our neighbors and to continue to minister to the people in our church as well who are in need. So
we appreciate that so much. Well, let's jump into our first question. And this one comes from Jordan, who posted this on our Instagram page. He says, I've been really struggling in my Christian walk. Friends have told me that it's because I focus too much on head knowledge and not enough on the heart. I thought I would ask you guys what you thought about head knowledge getting in the way of the heart and what I should be doing to improve my walk with God.
Jordan, thank you for your question. I remember years ago when I was thinking about going to seminary in order to study Hebrew and Greek and theology to prepare to preach and teach the Bible, talking to a pastor who was a friend of mine, and he really discouraged me. You might have heard this. He said, seminary is cemetery. That's where you go if you want your faith to shrivel up and die. And of course, I really struggled with his words because that was the last thing that I wanted. We can't pit the head against the heart in the Christian faith. God gets to our heart through our head oftentimes. Grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, Peter said. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. But again, note what he says there. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I think it's so important for us, Jordan, to continue to grow in the knowledge of the Lord. And how do we do that? We do that by studying the word of God. You know, Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, do your best to present yourself to God as an approved worker, who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. I think we want to take this very seriously. This is the word of God. And so I would encourage you, brother, keep digging in, keep, you know, stimulating your mind as you study the scriptures. I think that the problem that people often have here is they think, you know, a true relationship with God is something that's spontaneous. You know, it's just really rooted in the feelings, not so much in studying and the hard work of going through a passage of scripture and seeking to understand it. It's both and. I think it's as we study the scriptures, we fall in love with them more and we get to know the God of the scriptures, and that's what produces the feelings. And so I wouldn't say that that's why you're struggling, brother. Now, this doesn't mean that there isn't such a thing as this sort of, you know, cold, dry orthodoxy, if you will. I think of the religious leaders in Jesus's day. I mean, they were the experts on the Bible, and yet it's very clear that they didn't have a relationship with the Lord. And so it is possible to study the word of God and it not change the heart. I think we have to pray, God, as we study your word, cause your word to lead us to your son, Jesus, so that we might be changed, transformed by your word, and so that it might bear fruit in our lives.
Such a great response. And of course, I'm thinking of Jesus's, you know, greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And that's one of the areas where if we have this great head knowledge, but we're not loving our neighbor, we're not loving those around us, that can get us into trouble.
I referenced the Pharisees there, and that's exactly what you see with them. It seems like they looked at everybody with contempt. They viewed themselves as righteous in God's eyes. You know, we study the scriptures all day long, and yet Jesus says, but you're not willing to come to me. You don't realize the sin that you have. And so when that's the case, oftentimes you're right, Bill, we don't seek to love our neighbor as God calls us to.
Amen. You are listening to Core Christianity with Bill Meyer and Pastor Adriel Sanchez. We would love to hear from you. If you have a question for us, 833-843-2673. You can also email us at questions@corechristianity.com. Now, Adriel, let's go to our first call of the day.
This is Laura. I'm calling about Acts 16:31, and it says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. And I wonder how that translates to, you know, those of your family who aren't believers. Could you answer that for me? Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, such a beautiful passage, Laura. I mean, this is the conversion of the Philippian jailer, and he's hearing the gospel preached. And as you said, right, they say to him, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. In the Bible, you have what's called the household principle. And Laura, it's so beautiful, and it tells us something about the God that we worship. First, here's what's not being said in this passage of scripture. These words don't mean that if you believe in Jesus, your whole family is for sure going to believe in Jesus too. I mean, this is clear throughout the Bible and from our own experience. You know, think of how many kings in the Old Testament walked with the Lord whose children ended up turning away from the Lord. And of course, the many faithful Christian parents who, you know, they raise their children in the Lord, and yet for whatever reason, you know, they end up turning away from the faith. Ordinarily speaking, though, here's what I think we're supposed to glean from this passage. God works through the family. His intention is always to bless the family unit with his salvation. There's this promise that's repeated throughout the scriptures that you might be familiar with. The Lord said in places like Genesis 17, verse 7, I'm going to be a God to you and to your children after you. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, as he was preaching the gospel when the Holy Spirit fell on the multitude, he said, the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off. Laura, to you, if you're listening right now and you have children, God doesn't just want to be your God. His promises aren't just for you. If you're in Christ, they're for you and for your kids. And you should raise your children with those promises front and center so that they might lay hold of the God who wants to bless them with his salvation. And so, in short, what I would say, you know, what we're supposed to gather from this sort of household principle in the scriptures that you see played out right there in Acts chapter 16, verse 31, is that God loves the family. And the family unit is a key component to the advancement of the gospel throughout the world.
Adriel, let me ask you a follow-up question about that. There's the proverb about, you know, teaching your child in the ways of the Lord, and when they're older, they will not depart from it.
Yeah.
And yet, I think we have to bear in mind that is not a promise. That is a guidance for us from the Old Testament sage. And I think a lot of parents get tripped up thinking that this is somehow a guarantee.
Yeah, you know, you talk to so many people in the Lord who say, I just feel like I took my children to church and prayed for them, and it seemed like we did all the right things, and for whatever reason, we don't understand why things are the way they are right now. They don't seem to have an interest in the things of the Lord, and they can take a passage like that, and they can get angry at the Lord. They can say, God, you promised me this. What's the deal? And I think that's right. That's why it's so important for us to understand, you know, books like the book of Proverbs and the wisdom that's being given to us there. Now there is, I think, this principle, right? Like ordinarily speaking, again, God does intend to work in and through the family. We don't want to downplay that. And we don't want to downplay the importance of leading our children to the Lord, praying for them, discipling them. I mean, this is what God calls us to. And I think typically that bears fruit. But we can't assume that just because we do that, our children are going to be saved. I mean, salvation is of the Lord. This is a work of God. It's not something that I can manufacture. No matter how faithful I am, I'm reliant. I'm dependent upon the Lord. We all are. And I think that's what we're reminded of over and over again in the scriptures.
Mm. This is Core Christianity, and you can always call us 24 hours a day and leave your question at this number. It's 1-833-843-2673, or if you want to spell it out on your phone, it's 833-THE-CORE. You can also connect with us through our website at corechristianity.com. Okay, Adriel, we have a call from Pam.
My question is, in Luke 12, I'm having a hard time deciphering where this fits in. So I guess starting at 35, be dressed in readiness and keep your lamps alight and be like men who are waiting for their master when he returns from the wedding feast, so that they may immediately open the door to him when he comes and knocks. In verse 37, blessed are those slaves whom the master shall find on the alert when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will gird himself to serve and have them recline at the table and will come up and wait on them, whether he comes in the second watch or even the third, and finds them. So blessed are those slaves. And then it goes on. But I'm just wondering, where does that fit and what does all that mean?
Hey, Pam, thank you. And thank you for reading that passage. Let me just finish it in verse 39, where you stopped reading. It says, but know this, that if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. And I think that's the key there in this text. What Jesus is doing is he's painting a picture here of readiness. For us, what we're to take away from this is that we have to be ready for the Lord's return. I remember when I was in high school, there was one night I was woken up in the middle of the night because I heard a terrible scream. It was just shocking. And my door opened. I was sleeping, and my mom walked in and she burst into tears and said, someone was just in our house. Apparently, it was scary. I mean, someone had broken into our house, was in our living room. At that time, my little sister, you know, she would crawl into my mom's bed where my mom slept. She woke up my mom. And so my mom said, I'm going to go sleep in the living room. And when my mom got to the living room, there was a man dressed in all black standing in the middle of the living room. And that's when my mom screamed. And that was what woke me up. And when she screamed, the guy ran out of the house. And of course, you know, we called the police and all that. I remember thinking, you know, oh man, if I would have known that guy was going to be here, I would have been awake waiting with the baseball bat, you know. But you just never know. That's the thing. You always have to be ready, Jesus said. He comes as a thief in the night. One of the signs of the end times that Peter talked about, Pam, was that scoffers were going to say, where is the promise of his coming? Because the Lord tarries, they're going to engage in wickedness. They're going to say, yeah, I don't have to live for the Lord. I used to be like this. You know, before I came to the Lord, I remember thinking, you know, how much time do I have to live how I want before I have to get my life in order, you know, and answer to Jesus? Actually, it's sort of funny. I had somebody had told me that passage in the book of Revelation where it says that he comes with the clouds. And so I remember as a non-Christian thinking, well, if Jesus is real and he's coming back someday to judge the earth, he's coming with the clouds. So if it wasn't a cloudy day, I would tell myself, he's probably not going to come today. So, you know, it was pretty bad. But Pam, this whole passage is saying, look, we as followers of Jesus, we need to be ready. We need to be ready. And what does that look like? It looks like, you know, it's kind of interesting what Jesus says in that passage beginning at verse 35, stay dressed for action, keep your lamps burning, and be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast so that they might open the door to him once he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. You know, there's been people throughout the history of the church who have said, okay, the lamp's burning, you know, that's a sign of being filled with the fire of God's word or the gift of the Holy Spirit. I don't know that we're supposed to draw those kinds of lines of analogy per se. I mean, I guess that you could, but I think that the simple point that Jesus is making here is, are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the Lord's return? And being ready looks like really being clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ by faith. And that's a question we each have to ask ourselves. Am I ready? Am I clothed in that righteousness of Jesus by faith?
Hmm. Pam, thank you so much for your call. You're listening to Core Christianity. I'm Bill Meyer with Pastor Adriel Sanchez. And by the way, if you have a question for us, here is the number to call. It's 1-833-843-2673. That's 1-833-843-2673. You can also spell it out. It's 833-THE-CORE. You can also send us a question on our Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter accounts. We would love to hear your question. We mentioned a couple times this week that our good friend, Dr. Michael Horton, won't be on the program on a regular basis, but he will be joining us periodically. And we actually have a special message from Dr. Horton that we'd like to share with you.
As we reflect on the difficulties families, churches, businesses, our nation, and basically all people around the world right now are facing, having a sure confidence in the work of Jesus Christ on the cross and in his resurrection on our behalf is absolutely critical. We aim to answer the hard, unsettling questions of our times with both skeptics and committed Christians in mind. We want to give answers that not only show why Christianity is true, but also why it's good and beautiful. Your support, alongside the work of our team, is making a real difference in people's lives, a difference in helping others to live with hope, joy, and confidence. And that difference is eternal. So please consider sending a gift right now to help us continue. As a thank you gift for $20 or more, we'll send you our brand new Core Christianity Bible study on Paul's letter to the Romans. To make a gift and receive this study on Paul's letter to the Romans, head on over to corechristianity.com. That's corechristianity.com. On behalf of the entire team at Core Radio, thanks for your support.
I love resources like this. You know, they force us to get into the scriptures and to dig deeper than we normally do. So I hope that you take advantage of this resource on the book of Romans. I know it's going to bless you and your family as well.
All right, Adriel, let's go to our Facebook page, and Christina has a question for us. What is a good commentary or resource to use to help understand Scripture? I find that when I read my Bible, I get a bit confused, but I'm not sure where to go to get true biblical clarifications.
Christina, thank you for that question. Love that you're reading the Scriptures. I'd say if you're looking for a one-stop commentary, maybe the best thing to do would be to get a study Bible. I've recommended the ESV study Bible on a number of occasions. I think that's a great resource. It'll give you some of the historical background, and especially when you come across a passage that, you know, there are a lot of questions and different interpretations. Oftentimes, there will be some great notes in the ESV study Bible kind of helping you wade through the different interpretations and thinking through which one is the most faithful to the Scriptures. Other sort of commentaries, it's interesting because there are some that you read them and you think, okay, I have no idea what they're talking about. They got the Greek and Hebrew in there and Latin and all these other things. I think one that's pretty accessible, a commentary series that's pretty accessible, is the NIV Application Commentary Series. I think that's great for just the person in the pew. If you want to dig deeper into a particular book of the Bible, you might check to see if that book is covered by the NIV Application Commentary Series. But let me just also give you three key interpretive tips when you're reading the Bible. I think this is really important. First, context. Right? You probably heard that one. Context, context, context. We want to make sure that we're understanding verses of Scripture in their context, not lifting them out of, you know, the chapter or the book that they're in and just sort of drawing applications from this one verse that's separated or severed from its context. Second, and I think this one is really important too, let the clearer passages of Scripture interpret the less clear passages of Scripture. This is key because sometimes you'll come across a verse and you just think, I have no idea what that's saying. It seems to be calling this really important doctrine into question that's affirmed everywhere else in the Bible. How do we handle this? Well, we want to let the clear texts help us to understand the less clear ones. And the last one I would just say, sister, is Jesus is the center. I mean, it sounds so simple, but let me be honest. It took me a long time to get that. All Scripture should be leading us to Jesus. And you know who said that? Jesus himself. In Luke chapter 24, when he's with his disciples on the road to Emmaus, he stops them and he shows them how all of the Scriptures point to him. Luke chapter 24, verse 44. Let me just read you what it says there. Listen to this, Christina. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Actually, it's so interesting. Jesus is alluding there to the three major divisions of the Old Testament, the law, the prophets, and the writings, you know, books like the book of Psalms. He's saying all of it points to me. And so in your study of the Bible, Christina, you ought to be led to Jesus, whether you're in the Old Testament or in the New Testament. Jesus told the religious leaders in John chapter 5, "You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And these are the very scriptures that testify of me." And so we want to make sure we're reading the Bible in its context. We want to make sure that we're letting the clearer passages interpret the less clear ones. And we want to make sure that we're being led to Jesus as we study the scriptures.
Adriel, one of the books that we've recommended to our kids to help them understand context and that big word hermeneutics is the book How to Read the Bible for All It's Worth, which came out several years ago by Gordon Fee. And it's another resource that might be helpful to really understand what scripture is saying and how to interpret it in its context.
Oh, that's great, Bill. Thank you for sharing. Another one that comes to mind is Walking with Jesus Through His Word, Discovering Christ in All the Scriptures by a professor that I had in seminary, Dennis Johnson. That's another one you might want to check out. Maybe we can put those resources on the show notes for today's episode.
Some great resources that hopefully will help her, Adriel. By the way, if you have a question for us, you can always call 24 hours a day at 833-843-2673. You can also email us with your question at questions@corechristianity.com. In fact, Jonathan emailed us and he said, "Hi guys, I love the show. I listen most days on my morning walk. Something I've heard you say in passing a couple of times is that when we are struggling with our sin, we need to fix our eyes on Christ. Can you explain this a little more?"
Yeah, Jonathan, I think that this is so important for us, especially when we're struggling, not to look in, but to look outside of us to Jesus. And the language is biblical. You think about places like Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus." There it is right there. Lay aside the sin and look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Isn't that so encouraging? I'm not the founder of my faith and I'm not the perfecter of it. It's Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And so, you know, one of the reasons we say this over and over again is because I know as a pastor, when we're struggling, when people are struggling with sin, we have a tendency to do the navel gazing, to look within and to get discouraged, depressed, to not continue to seek the Lord because we feel hopeless. And that's the reality is when we look within, what do we see? We see all of our brokenness. We see our sin. We see our need. And if we stay looking within, we're just going to grow more and more depressed. We have to look up. We have to, as the author of the Hebrews says there in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, look to Jesus. He's the one who's going to perfect our faith. He's the one who's sanctifying us. He's the one who through his cross has forgiven all of our sins. Now, a practical question here is, how do we look to Jesus? I mean, we're told that he's seated at the right hand of God. I can't stare into space and see Jesus somewhere off in the distance. What does the scripture mean when it says we need to look to Jesus? Well, here's how we see Jesus today, Jonathan, through the preaching of the Holy Gospel. Paul told the Galatians that when he preached the gospel to them, it was as if Jesus himself was placarded. The word that he used is billboarded before them in Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. So it's sort of an odd way to say it, but we see Jesus through hearing the word. So the question for each and every one of us is, am I hearing the word? Am I in a good church? Do I open up the scriptures? Am I seeing Jesus through his word? And that's where we need to go as we're struggling. When we're struggling, we go to the word and we look to Jesus. And there we receive comfort.
Thanks for listening to Core Christianity. To request your copy of today's special offer, visit us at corechristianity.com and click on Offers in the menu bar, or call us at 1-833-843-2673. That's 833-THE-CORE. When you contact us, please let us know how you've been encouraged by this podcast. And be sure to join us next time as we explore the truth of God's Word together.